I think it's like also understanding the way that people operate generally, you know, even with, say, like a villain character or someone that's perceived as evil or doing horrible things. I just feel like understanding that generally people aren't operating in a way where they're intentionally doing awful things or being an awful person. It's understanding that it's, you know, a frame of mind, and it's that person doing something for, like, you know, wanting something in return. So I think trying to really kind of work that out for a character really helps me to tap into, you know, what's important to them and what actually then motivates them to do what they do.
That's Teresa Leanne talking about how she approaches roles, especially playing a villain. Great actress from Australia. You know her from The Vampire Diaries, His Killer Fan, Roman Empire. And it's a really cool conversation with her about sort of how she approaches the craft of acting and what sort of bit her and got her interested in acting and interested in some obstacles she faced. It's a really cool conversation. And we talk about that she's from Australia and she thought I was Paul Mercurio, the Australian actor who was in Strictly Ballroom and Exit to Eden, and who had a really hot body at one time, hotter than mine, but now I think mine is hotter than his. And it's not me, because we spell our name the same way, M-E-R-C-U-R-I-O. I had to change the spelling of my name because he got in the Actors Union before I did. So if you see him, punch him for me. And oh, by the way, he's a big star in Australia. Like, he's got a reality beer making recipe, craft beer making show. And to this day, people mix us up. And like every 2 weeks, I get a beer recipe on Twitter. So I know that's not a fan of mine. All right. Enjoy Teresa. And we'll see you guys next week. And don't forget, YouTube channel. Go there and subscribe if you haven't already. My guest this week is... known for her roles as Mary Louise on The Vampire Diaries, Angelica on Into the Badlands, and has a new film on Lifetime, His Killer Fan. It's Teresa Leanne. Nice to have you on the show.
Hi, yes, thank you for having me.
So we have to first start with my name, Paul Mercurio, and I want to know if you know the Australian Paul Mercurio, who's the actor who I get mistaken for every once in a while.
I did have to look this up to make sure that is not who I was speaking with. It's not been a bad thing.
Yeah, he has a reality craft beer making show, which I hear is very good. And so every once in a while on Twitter, I get beer recipes from people who think I'm Paul Mercurio, who's a fine actor. And I actually had to change the spelling of my name a little bit because we spell our names exactly the same way. And he got into the Actors Union before I did. So when I had my first acting gig, my manager called me while I was on the set of a TV show. And he goes, "We have a problem." I go, "What?" I go, "They have to change your name." I go, "Why?" He goes, "Because there's a Paul Mercurio in the Actors." And I'm like, "Are you kidding me? How is that possible? This is like..."
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So tell him I said...
very well known here.
Yeah. Yeah. Tell him I said hi. Maybe someday we'll meet each other.
Yes.
But yeah, you know, in his heyday, especially when he was a dancer, way better body than I did. Anyway, so let's talk about your film.
Yeah,
congratulations on the film. And I just want to jump in because I was sort of reading up on you a bit, and you said you talk about acting, and you said as an actor, you try not to put too much thought into the final outcome. And I was curious to know what you meant by that.
I think it's just one of those things where it's over time you kind of realize what your role in all of it is. And so it's one of those things, like, even from script to then rehearsals to being on set and then the final edit, like, most of it you don't really have any control over. So I think if that's something with the overall outcome in relation to that, it's just kind of having fun with it, doing my best, showing up, and then just having faith that it's going to be this awesome project. But I guess if it's thinking about auditions and things, I think that's a totally different thing. It's kind of going in and showing everything that you have or how you would, you know, play this character if given the opportunity. But then you really need to find that way of just being okay with that being kind of your last chance to play that character. And if someone really connects with it and it goes further, that's great. But you kind of just have to be happy with giving it everything you've got and then walking away. And it's, you know, easier said than done, I'm sure. Like, there are some times where I'm great at it and sometimes where I'm not, where you really want a certain part or there was something about it where you're like, oh, if I just had that chance, I know that, you know, I would really do awesome things with this or would try to. But it's just, it's that kind of weird balance of trying to just understand that there are just so many decisions that are out of your control. So I think, yeah, trying to remember to have fun with everything and just let it be.
Right. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Tell folks a little bit about the film, because the role you play in this is it's different, say, than your role in the Vampire Diaries. You're not the protagonist, if you will. You're not. It's a really cool premise.
That's really funny. It is, and I think it was actually like a surprise to me that I didn't know that I had this particular part until, you know, like a week or two before filming. And originally I had auditioned for Ariana, who is what I guess some would call the protagonist in this film. And I think that just, it made sense. And that's sort of how I saw myself almost being cast. So I originally did audition for that role. And then even the callback, it was that role. And it wasn't until the announcement of casting where I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, totally different. I don't know what I did in the audition that made them go, oh, yeah, actually, she's innocent and the good girl.
That's rare, though. That's rare because usually, like, when I've gone in and then they have you come back, they're like, they actually will have you reread for that different role, so that they just switched you over is pretty rare, don't you think?
I do. Well, that's why part of me was like, what did I do? I mean, maybe I'm kind of really off with what I thought I was projecting or, you know, giving off with that performance, because it was a total opposite to this, you know, Kaylee, this character is. So, but it was one of those things where I think I would not have seen myself as that character if someone had asked me before this. But even during it, I think that sort of challenge of finding a way to play this character that I hadn't been given that chance before. So they're just, I had to really find parts of myself that made sense in this character. And I think hopefully that kind of shows, and I think maybe a little bit more of myself maybe made it in because of that, you know.
Mm-hmm. And you play sort of you're the target of Ariana, this sort of, you know, for lack of a better term, not well balanced person who feels that you're her challenge. It's in the world of rock and roll. It's got a nice setting to it. How does it develop between the three main characters, the storyline?
Yeah, well, it kind of starts with the two girls, especially like their friendship and relationship. Mm-hmm. So they've been friends since childhood, basically. And since then, my character Kaylee has gone off and, you know, been at med school studying to be a doctor, whereas Ariana, she has these huge dreams and this passion for music and wanting to pursue this career, but just kind of finds herself still in the hometown and getting really frustrated by that. But yeah, a family tragedy for my character brings me back home. And I think in that they reconnect and they kind of lean on each other for different reasons. And it's as Ariana wins this singing competition and gets to go and meet her dream crush and perform with him on stage, she sees that as her chance to make him fall for her. But that's what brings in Ryan Cooper's character, Josh Halliday. And he ends up actually finding that he's interested in my character. So it starts this whole love triangle thing. And that really, obviously, it tests the friendship and it kind of brings in this other theme of like betrayal and kind of what happens with that.
Right. Right. A quote of yours was, I enjoy the challenge of presenting an audience with someone completely flawed. Why is that? And how did you find the flaws in this character?
That's a really cool question. I just think with life, like, no one is perfect, no matter how much, you know, we feel the need to present ourselves as that. And I think social media has kind of added that extra layer of it, where it's like people just sort of feel they need to show that everything is pretty and there's this awesome filter over everything. And it's just not the case. Most of the time, I think people do feel awkward or need that sort of validation from whatever it is that they're seeking. And I just think that that's also just a real, it's a more interesting way to approach things where, like, we're constantly needing something, whatever that may be. And I think that search for something, it gives myself and my character purpose. And that's sort of, you know, the line of kind of reasoning that I follow. And with Kaylee, I think I found that she was dealing with things emotionally that, you know, were out of her control, and kind of coming back and having to really rethink how she had attached her identity to her dreams of becoming a doctor and the way that that all sort of plays out. That's the kind of thing that I kind of tapped into and really wanted to kind of see how that affected her then relationships with family, friends. And it also kind of made her pretty cynical when it came to love. So I think it just, yeah, it kind of adds those layers to a character that are just way more realistic.
Yeah. You seem to really have an interesting take on how you approach the roles, because you had said also that, like, empathy was the foundation of authenticity. And I guess that ties into your idea that we're all flawed creatures, and so you can't present somebody as authentic if you present them as sort of perfect or not flawed, I would imagine, right?
Yeah. And I think it's like also understanding the way that people operate generally, you know, even with, say, like a villain character or someone that's perceived as evil or doing horrible things. I just feel like understanding that generally people aren't operating in a way where they're intentionally doing awful things or being an awful person. It's understanding that it's, you know, a frame of mind, and it's usually that person doing something for, like, you know, wanting something in return. So I think trying to really kind of work that out for a character really helps me to tap into, you know, what's important to them and what actually then motivates them to do what they do.
Yeah. You know, you sort of were a self-professed sort of tomboy growing up, but you know, you really loved the arts and theater, and your mom encouraged you in that area. And, but you talked about sort of having doubts, I think, which we all do when you go into this kind of work, you know, because I don't come from an entertainment background family, and I don't think you do either. And I think maybe your families go, well, you should go be a doctor or a lawyer, right? Right. Like, sort of, so they get nervous for you, you know, and your friends do, because they're like, this is so far afield from the world that we grew up in. And what were some difficult obstacles? Because I know you talked about, like, you lived without acting and you hated it, and then you had to kind of clear the noise because you had sort of maybe people asking you that were close to you, do you want this? Is this, are you sure? Talk about sort of that, because I really related to that in a lot of ways.
Yeah. Well, I think it's one of those things. I mean, it probably also contributed to maybe why I didn't get into it as early as maybe I could have, or, you know, it's one of those things where it is coming from family, especially, you know, that it is generally coming from a good place, or fear of not wanting you to be in that kind of position where either, you know, the idea of the struggling actor or being out of work and all of that, you know, there is this uncertainty that comes with this career. Like, we know that going into it.
Right.
But I think especially, you know, like that moment of living without it and trying to study something that just wasn't kind of, it didn't light me up. It didn't make me excited about it. And so I think I needed that experience to then be like, what am I doing? Like, this just isn't going to keep me happy in life. And I need to be, like, I knew I had to pursue it basically. And so I think there's that. And then there's also that sort of, some people, maybe it does work for me a little bit this way, when it's, if someone's telling you or like pushing you to think in a certain way, they're saying you can't do something, it sort of spurs you a little more to kind of, you have to bolster yourself in your own kind of confidence right. in things. Right. And a bit of it is almost a faking it till you make it thing. I think that definitely helped a little bit in the beginning for me, where, you know, I was entering an industry where I had no experience, no, you know, mentors that could really guide me in the beginning. And so it was that thing of really just showing up kind of like just doing what I thought was right. And then just luckily, I think it's the key people that you meet along the way that kind of encourage you and say, like, this is you know, we're interested and we would love for you to kind of keep going. I think those little moments really help along the way.
Were you close? Were you pursuing at one point, did you sort of turn your back on acting, or did you say, this isn't for me, and then you went back to it? Or were you seriously thinking about pursuing something completely away from the world of entertainment at any point?
I think once I made the decision to start doing it, since then it hasn't been. I mean, there are definite, you know, like with anyone, I think there are those moments where you're working a lot and then that moment where if you're not, and there's that space in between,
yeah,
you start to question things. But I think that's, you almost need to go through that because it also refreshes, you know, your drive for it, and you have to rediscover kind of things that really bring you back to it now. Like your motivation for being in the career or this industry may be different now versus, you know, several years ago. And so I think, yeah, once I made the decision that this is what I want to do, and I do kind of check in with myself a bit here and there, I think especially during the pandemic, you know, when that forced kind of moment of not working.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was the perfect opportunity to, if there was anything else that I had thought that maybe I should be trying, I really got to kind of think of that. But I know, you know, I've been missing that feeling of getting to work with people and just creating something really cool that I'm excited about. So, yeah, I think I know that it's definitely what I want to be doing.
Great. Well, before we wrap up, I have one last question. You're working with a female director and writer in this. As an actress, as a woman, is there a different dynamic working with a female director versus a male director?
I think it depends on the director. Like, you know, not necessarily if it's female to male, but I will say maybe with approaching certain themes, it was maybe a little bit more of a shorthand of almost mutual experience, where, you know, it'd be that thing of like, oh, this is obviously something where when, you know, say a friend, maybe between two girls, like the way that an argument would go, where, you know, just having someone that probably has had that experience and just making it very clear kind of where the things are going. I think maybe it gives you that. And also Marguerite, the director of this film, she was just amazing anyway, like just, you know, really available for everyone to just kind of have those chats either before scenes or in between takes, but just, you know, if there was anything that we had questions about, she just made sure that we all knew she was there. So, yeah, she was great.
It's great. Well, the film is His Killer Fan on Lifetime. It's really great to talk to you and hear about the film and all your success. And when you run into Paul Mercurio, just tell him Paul Mercurio said hello. And tell him to write. He never writes. He never calls. Tell him I feel bad. Tell him to send me a beer recipe or something, will you? Come on.
I will.
All right. Well, it's very nice to have you on, and best of luck with the film and the career. And we'll keep an eye out for other stuff you're doing. It's His Killer Fan on Lifetime, and great to have you on. There you go. That's Teresa Leanne, very lovely woman, and I think she's more into me than she is the other Paul Mercurio in Australia. I just got that vibe through the thing, the conversation. Okay, check out the YouTube channel, youtube.com/PaulMercurio, and subscribe there if you haven't, and tell your fans and friends and lovers and dog and postman and everybody else about this podcast, and ask them to subscribe. We always like to build a following. Thanks for checking it out. Thanks for being a fan. See you guys next week.